In podcast 886, I'm going to ask the question, why do so many people live in the past? We're going to talk about it in podcast 886, the Bob Davis podcast. So we're going to deal with some pretty mature concepts in this podcast. And as you know, I've been advertising various legal services to help small businesses and individuals regarding this website, thebobdavispodcast.com, and the podcast is kind of a resource for legal services. So now I'm going to tell you about Virtus Law. Virtus Law has offices in Cambridge, Minnesota, Edina, Maplewood, Red Wing, Mendota Heights, even in Dallas, Texas. When it comes to business, Virtus Law, of course, offers full services. So if you're a business owner, let me ask you a question. Are you thinking strategically? Maybe you think a couple steps ahead, and that's good. Maybe your lawyer even thinks a couple steps ahead for you, and that's good. But the truth is to be on top of things today, because things, as you're going to find out in this podcast, things change real fast. That might not be enough if you are just thinking a couple of steps ahead. For example, what do you do about things like, let me find my list, management service agreements. Of course, succession, if you have a family-owned business, really important. Estate planning, partnerships, asset protection, debt issues, income tax planning, and of course, really today, HR issues and HR planning. To do all that right, you need a strategic planner. And for that, you need Nathan W. Nelson at Virtus Law. He's the guy. Let me be honest. Most lawyers don't really give you strategic advice. They bill by the hour. You know how it is. But if you're the owner of a growing business or you have more than a little bit on the ball, you might be frustrated with not getting strategic advice from your current lawyer. You want to look at long-term planning and not short-term transactions. And that is what Nathan W. Nelson, one of the co-founders at Virtus Law, does. Full legal services, strategic planners. Fees are structured reasonably, which is super cool. Call Nathan W. Nelson at 612-888-1000. Virtus Law serves small businesses and their owners. You can click on the Virtus Law banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com for more info, or call them at 612-888-1000. Very quickly, Nathan W. Nelson is very down to earth, has a great story about why he became an attorney, and many of the people I know who've used him love Virtus Law. As long as we're talking business, let me mention once again that if you're looking for a great American manufacturing company, look no further than Depot Star, American Design Engineering and Manufacturing. Visit their website at depotstar.com. That's DEPOTSTAR, depotstar.com. Had a conversation with a friend recently after dinner, and it was a great conversation and a good example of how important friendship is to all of us. We talked about how the country is changing, and there was regret, there was lamenting, there were memories of a simpler and more predictable world. Now, my reaction to this is, you know, this is a pretty amazing time that we're living through right now. I'm not sure if I would want to go back, because when you think about going back, the truth is we only remember the good things. And so the question comes up not just why do so many people live in the past, but where do you live in time? We know that children, little children, live in the present. We know that the adolescents live in the future, because adolescents, and we all remember this if we are older, we all remember that you couldn't wait to get out into the world. So adolescents, more than anyone, live in the future. And of course, adults at some point start to live in the past, and we call that nostalgia. At some point, the desire for a simpler, more predictable time with its values and its mores is comfortable, and so comfortable that the yearning for that time becomes neurotic or even pathological. What do I mean by that? I mean spending a lot of mental time in that comfortable thinking space. And for some, it's the past. We don't remember the bad times when it comes to the past. We forget the angst or concerns or failures of the past's values and mores, especially this time of the year. We have more time to reflect in winter, especially this time of the winter, this Christmas time, the end of the year period. And some of us yearn for the traditional smells and visual cues and feelings. And so it is natural that we would also seek that security in thinking about other times and circumstances. And a couple of things have happened this week that brought this up for me. So I think it was interesting that I had this conversation with my friend just recently. The first thing that did it was, new Pew study says we don't trust the news media. Certain groups, in this case so-called conservatives, are much more likely to distrust the media. Many who self-identify as conservatives are, in fact, older. And it makes sense that these people find it most difficult to accept a highly competitive media environment. If you're used to daily newspapers, radio, and television, the idea of getting your news from social media might be daunting. And yet, did we really trust the media back in the 1950s and 60s? And in reality, do we really trust the media, no matter what our political views are, that comes out of Facebook or Twitter? Or any of these other modern media sources. And yet one of the oldest phrases in the news business and in the world that I remember growing up is, don't believe everything that you read in the newspaper. But in reality, the media that seemed so predictable and sure in those time periods back in the day actually lied to us. They lied to us about war. They lied to us about economic policy mistakes. They lied to us about politicians. They made collective decisions not to report on things of national importance that came to light later. If you do get your news from social media or the internet and the 24-hour cable news networks, well, why would anyone trust it? In an age of uncertainty, trust is just simply hard to come by. Things change so rapidly today, everyone, all of us, reach a point where we can't say with any degree of certainty what's quote-unquote going to happen, even though this is what everyone tries to do, what someone is going to do. They are constantly trying to tell us what's going to happen and what someone's going to do, and half the time or more, they're wrong. So it's almost impossible even these days for us to plan. You just have to roll with the punches. That is just a reality of the high-speed and high-velocity life that we are living today, and I think it is a reality that is very hard for some of us to accept. Another thing that I do is I watch a lot of YouTube as a bellwether. And recently on YouTube, I have come across a vein of gold when it comes to apocalyptic videos, which of course are my favorite. People convinced that we are very close to something referred to as the 3 days of the darkness. This is a time when all the light will be gone from the earth for 3 days. During this period of time, God will release the demons to roam the earth and torment us. You're supposed to stay in your house and cover the windows. You're supposed to lock the doors and not open them for anyone. And you are not supposed to look out the window. If you do, you're going to be taken by the demons. This is actually a horror movie, very scary. And the people on YouTube know this because God has told them. Well, my response to that is, for many people starting in the middle age, we start having dreams, and some people will call them religious dreams. We will have experiences, and people will call them religious experiences. Carl Jung would call them psychic experiences. Their experiences would be those in which they channel some deity or God, and miraculously it seems that deity or God confirms their beliefs. The world is ending. Jesus is returning. We must repent. So the tie-in to Jung would be, it might be suggested that these visions are a shadow side of their minds at this time, never before revealed, and that shadow side of the mind is now revealing their doubts and fears about the future. For these people, and I'm not judging them, I'm saying that they're putting out this stuff, they're putting themselves out there in a way that we couldn't do 50 years ago or 20 years ago. They're able to use YouTube, they're able to use social media to put their fears and feelings and express themselves because they are genuinely experiencing these things and they genuinely believe this stuff generally. And the truth is, for these people, and this is a fact, the world is ending. It's a fact of life that eventually God will come for all of us. It's just life and death, and so we fear the unknown. And there's just no other way to say it. It's not a value judgment on those people. It's not meant to make them feel bad or to say they're wrong or right, because I don't know. Maybe there will be 3 days of darkness and I don't know what it means. Maybe they are able to see the future. So I'm not saying they're wrong or they're stupid or anything like that. Sometimes it's fun. It's amusing to me, it's not even amusing. To me, it's fascinating to watch these videos and other predictions, and it's not just predictions in the religious world, but also this same prediction in the New Age world, or people steeped in this, you know, 5D world where they say that we're going to be able to shift time and all these other things. I always wonder, is this for them this psychic experience where a shadow part of their mind is revealing itself and they don't see that? They don't understand a psychic experience. It might be a revealing experience about your mind, and a psychic religious experience has kind of the same effect. So what I see with people, especially with end of the world predictions, is what they're actually seeing is their own death, and they're actually lamenting the fear or revealing their own fear of death, because for them the world is ending. If I go out and say the world is ending, yes, the world is going to end for me someday, just like it's going to end for everyone. So I think that's fascinating, and I don't judge. I just think it's interesting. So in the second half of this podcast, I'm going to come to some conclusions and some final thoughts about why we pine away for a simpler, more predictable time. Well, as you enjoy the sort of slowing down and relatives come into town, they're going to stay at your house, and you're going to start noticing how small that house is, or you're going to start thinking, boy, I want to finish off the garage, or I want to do a new kitchen, or we need a new bathroom upstairs. We may as well get an addition and do a master suite. So if you're thinking about doing any of these things, you have to do a little bit of planning, and that means you got to think ahead. If you're going to do that, let me refer you to Whitetail Builders of Andover, Minnesota. Randy Graybaugh is great. 866-282-8801. That's 612-282-8801. Whitetail's focused on the details. They are also focused on customer service, and that means being with you every step of the way. Again, Whitetail Builders, 612-282-8801. That's Whitetail Builders. Check them out online at whitetailbuildersinc.com or click on the Whitetail banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcasts.com. I want to tell you about a new thing that's going on, and that is PodMN. PodMN is a new app that presents or holds podcasts, gets podcasts from local Minnesotans. And I'm on PodMN, PODMN.com. You can download the app and on your phone, and then you'll have this app that'll help you get podcasts from local podcasters, which I think is pretty great. That is a service of Hubbard Radio, Television, Hubbard Interactive, and I think it's pretty cool. And normally I would not give them a big plug, but I checked it out and talked to my friend Jeremy over there, and I know a lot of people there and what they're doing, and I think it's pretty great. And the podcast sounds really good on there too. So you can get it there. You can also get it at iTunes, of course. Subscribe to the Bob Davis Podcast on the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. Appreciate the sharing and favoriting on Facebook and Twitter, and your donations for Mobile Podcast Command at thebobdavispodcast.com. And you might say, is this a political podcast? Well, I'm not sure. I didn't intend it to be a political podcast. It's really not about politics. But at the same time, today, quote-unquote conservatives, traditionalists, people who are consider themselves quote-unquote culture warriors, trying to bring back a time in the past, generally come out as a political group. So this is kind of to those people, but it's also to people and this is where I hesitate to say it's a political podcast. It's also to people who have this religious conviction that their view about how things are and how they have to change and how we have to take care of people and so forth and so on have to become a reality. You know, I'm at the point in my life where I'm really not sure about any of this stuff. And I think a lot of this is I'm going to say something that people don't like to talk about, and they don't like to even approach in their own thinking. Death is the final mystery. And I think when you actually sit down and think about dying, and it isn't – you don't have to be 89 years old to think about dying. This is something that people actually begin to think about much earlier in life than I think they're willing to admit or that anyone is willing to admit. Death is a major factor in people's lives at a pretty early stage. And I think that fears of death, thoughts of death, recognition of the finite quality of life has something to do with this yearning for a simpler time, this yearning for predictability. And I think it is a sign of thinking about or becoming aware that we are getting closer to the greatest challenge of our lives, which is death. I lost my father at a very early age in my adult life, 28, 27. And I think that had a pretty strong effect on my own nostalgia later in life, and I think it had an effect on how I functioned in the world. And I think it was this realization that death is real. It's not something that is an ethereal concept or an intellectual concept. And so when you have yearnings and fears like that, and we all have them, it's a human condition. It exerts pressure psychically, and sometimes these thoughts are well below the surface given the demands of day-to-day life. You don't see too many kids with these yearnings because, again, they live in the present more than anyone. When somebody says, be as a child, you know, think it like a child thinks, what they're really saying is live in the present time because this is all you have is the present time, and kids really exemplify that kind of thinking. And as I said, they live in the now. But you do see and hear about these yearnings more and more with people middle-aged and over. Maybe we do yearn for a more simple time overall because the truth is, as a nation, demographically, we are getting older, much older. The question is, do young people see things in the same way? Well, no, they don't. They don't lament the passing of a time they never lived in or yearn for this easier time because their memories of that time have not been cleansed of the angst and uncertainty and confusion and fear and concern that also existed then as now. And I think this is a surprise to many of the baby boom generation, which is a generation so strongly identified personally with eternal youth. I try to avoid that mindset because actually I really do think this is an extraordinary time that we are living in, and I do not think the world is going to end, and I really resist thinking, worrying about the end of the world or that type of thinking or lamenting the past values of the world because – and I'll explain why in a second. We have to be careful today about a lot of things. We live in a big country. It's an entire country made up of many different people, different ages, different walks of life. What happens in my consciousness is not necessarily what is happening in your consciousness and your life. Somebody's life is different from my life. The only way that we share experiences is through language, maybe to a lesser extent art. Language can take on many different, appearances. It doesn't have to be talk. It doesn't have to be talking and words. But partially because of the speed of communication today, words and phrases tend to get magnified. They get mangled. They have a greater impact. People get triggered, and they seem to be more easily upset than they were perhaps in times past. And of course, we have to be careful because these days there's tons of different ways that we can just blow up the whole world. So things have a little bit more import today than they might have in times past. I find one of the biggest things that I see is this yearning for a simpler time, literally living in the past. For many, they want and dream about this age of certainty. And it's interesting that today it is the 50s and 60s and 70s, that those period, that time, 50s and 60s and 70s were somehow easier. The time when we were children is the time we yearn for, because when we were kids, in a normal family life, we were under the protection of our parents. In adult life, guess what? We have to be protectors. We have to accept life on life's terms sooner or later. And I refer to when my dad died as perhaps the beginning of that process in my own life. There's a large number of people who reject the current social milieu. They don't like it. The country's going to hell in a handbasket. We're losing our social values and so forth. Like a last-ditch fight at the river's edge, some want to return to that certainty. When we talk about losing the value system, what comes up? These kids and their smartphones, man buns, men who are women, people, all of these values that seem topsy-turvy and all this confusing stuff, and people harken back to an age that was supposedly more simple. And again, we do not recall the horror stories of those times. Just did a podcast, and this came up too in this discussion in my mind before doing this podcast, where I toured that radio station from the 1960s that Time forgot. Really a great, wonderful, fantastic experience. And I remembered using a lot of that equipment. In the 1960s and 1970s, though, guess what? If you wanted to do any work, you had to go into an office. You did not have the option of the internet to find something out. Communication was slow. You spent a lot of time on an actual telephone. There was no answering machines. We all used manual typewriters for the most part and so on. And, of course, every workplace was just dripping in cigarette smoke and bad coffee makers. Truth is, it's just human nature, and when the strain comes, that's when you see these memories come up. Another thing that happened recently for me is I've been watching this show, The Crown, and one of the storylines is about Lord Mountbatten's sister, who was also Prince Philip's mother. I didn't know that. She had a very difficult time in life, and she's dying, and at one point, Mountbatten goes to see her, and they are joking sardonically about their battles and challenges and the state of the country in relation to their position as royals. And she says, "At a certain age, I realized that I had become a spectator, and it doesn't matter." Mountbatten disagrees. And it's the early 70s in England when they had all the problem with the pound sterling and so forth. And he says the country is his country and he is going to fight to maintain the traditions. And she just laughs. And in conclusion, I would say this. Even if we disagree, even if we hate each other, we are all on a journey together through time. All of us alive right now. Kind of like a train trip. We're all on the same train. Lots of cars on the train. Some of us are going to get off this train before others. Some of us have already gotten off the train. And as the train moves, the view out those windows changes. I could emphasize it by saying some of us will have to get off at the next station before we will see where the train is going to go next. And again, that view out the windows may change, and we may not understand what we see outside the carriages as we go further in the journey, and the trip never ends. More souls are going to get off, and more souls are going to get on, and at some point, we have to relinquish the idea that we control where that train is going. We have a role to play, but we're not driving the train. We will eventually have to get off the train somewhere, sometime, but we don't know where that train is going. At some point in life, we're going to gain enough perspective that we realize we can leave the arguments to the energies of youth and to those who cannot get out of the hall of mirrors of politics. Yes, we live in a complex time. We have to confront complex challenges, how things are going to work, artificial intelligence. We're confronting economic challenges that would not have occurred in any other time. We confront all kinds of social challenges that are unique. And even so, I am sure that some of the more traditional ideas of society eventually will come back into vogue. Younger generations are going to have to experience whatever they are going to have to experience in their lifetimes and figure out what of these traditions to keep and which ones to get rid of. And they're going to have their time to address those problems. And when they do, most of us will be long gone. There are many problems and opportunities in the world. And as I said, some of them are downright frightening. Are they bigger problems than those that confronted past generations? Well, I would say in terms of scale, yes, they are, especially in terms of the scale of being able to blow things up and kill everybody. But to the people of the past, the problems and challenges they confronted at that time to them were every bit as daunting and difficult. If you could time travel, and most of us, when we think of time travel, we think of, oh, well, I'll go back to this incredible time and I'll get to witness this incredible historic event. Would you prefer to be a soldier during the Civil War in the U.S. and be on the line? Or somebody who lost everything in the 1930s, or a black sharecropper in the Delta in the same time, or the president? after Pearl Harbor, or anyone at the dawn of the nuclear age on August 7th, 1945, or to be in Dallas in that car on November 22nd, 1963, or in Vietnam in 1970, or in the World Trade Center on September 11th, 2001. All of those times had their values, and the values were outdated in the blink of an eye. Not everyone realized it at the time. People held on to the past. We do live in the past because we've built the past in the present, and we grew older, and the present time also has its old buildings and old roads and old places that we built. So yeah, we can see the past. We cannot see the future, and we cannot know or fully understand when a value or a more or a concept is instantly outdated. You know, we all remember the people who lived, at least in recent history. We remember how they were. Hopefully, we remember the positives and the negatives, especially if they're family members. We remember their fears and their concerns and their happy moments and the things they liked and didn't like. And again, in the face of the end, we think about those things and we think, you know, how useless the world in terms of its day-to-day stuff seemed. You know, when we talked about my dad, we talked about how much he liked to drive around in his convertible. And we talked about how much he liked to work in the lab. And we talked about how much he liked to do his decoupage and his little hobbies and things of that nature. You know, we didn't talk about all the many things that he did in his life. There were three or four things that people remembered. Again, values. We remember people who lived. We remember how they were. And now they are gone. And I think it's fair to be concerned about legacy, what we leave behind, and what values, you know, are believed in strongly. And to be fair, there are values that should stand the test of time. But the truth is, some of those will, and some of those won't, and some of them will be made obsolete in the blink of an eye. And I would imagine, given the technology of our time, more of those things are being eclipsed more rapidly than not. It's funny to hear the person of the year talking about extinction events, and yet when it comes to values, when it comes to mores, when it comes to how we think about our present time frame, ideas are being eclipsed and made extinct constantly. And so we're experiencing a constant extinction event in terms of our society every single day. And I guess if somebody wants to do their level best to make sure that their values remain, or if somebody wants to do their level best to get rid of those values, that's okay if you want to stay in the arena and continue the fight and so forth and so on. But the reality is sooner or later, we're all going to come to that moment when the train will stop and we are going to have to get off at that stop. But the journey continues. And I'll tell you who's getting off the train. The big office supply big box retailers, because they're charging us so much to get print cartridges. That's why I use Cartridge World in Maple Grove, because they save me 30% compared to the big box stores, and their cartridges are guaranteed to perform as good as new. I know I use them. They're great. Free delivery on qualifying orders. Call Jason at Cartridge World in Maple Grove, 763-420-6632, 763-420-6632, or you click on that big black and yellow and white Cartridge World banner. Cartridge World, why pay more to print? Well, it's a little heavy, I guess, but this is the kind of stuff that goes through my head. Thanks for listening to Podcast 886, the Bob Davis Podcasts. You got to just, at some point, you got to say, okay, well, that's it. You know, that was what I wrote.
I am an old woman, named after my mother.